Hello, and welcome to episode 130 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Kev P, and alongside me is the snot to my bag, it's Jeb and G.
Charming. I'm starting to think you're using these intros as insults. And I come up with next, then?
Entirely up to you.
I mean, to be fair, I am a bit of a snot bag at the moment, if you can hold it. But that's not the point.
Anyway, it's episode 130, and it's a live review of Metrofest.
Yes, moshing the roof on, if you will.
It was a really good event. Lots and lots of bands put on by UK Thrashers.
Yep, so shout out to Neil for arranging the event and putting together an excellent lineup.
And all for a good cause.
Yes, and just to say at this point, we were given press passes for the event, but we did also purchase tickets because, you know, it's a charity and we wouldn't want to take a freebie from a charity. So previously, UK Thrashers and Neil had done a Moshing the Roof On album, well, actually four albums, to raise money for shelter, whereby bands, some of those who were on the lineup today and other ones, they all came together to have their tracks compiled in previous years to raise money. And so this was the first time that it's actually been put on as a live event.
And it was damn good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was good to see lots of familiar faces, actually.
It was, yeah, not just the bands, people.
Yeah, not just the bands, people as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, people have travelled from all over, as well as being local.
Yeah, we travelled a whole 35 minutes for the event.
We did.
Which is actually our quickest time for a festival, I think. We're normally an hour.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, with traffic. Yeah, we did a quick check into the hotel, then went straight to the Hairy Dog. We're about, like, 12:45 we arrived before it started at 1.
Yeah.
About right, I think.
Sounds about right. I had enough time to get a drink, chat to a few people, and then get a spot.
Yeah. One thing that was interesting about the lineup actually was there were 12 bands.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a matter of how the lineup or the stage times ran in order, the first five were bands that we'd never seen before, and some of whom we were a bit more familiar with than others. And then the final seven bands we had seen at least once before. So it was almost like unknown support acts followed by,
I suppose, yeah,
familiar bands. Weirdly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I'd not even considered that.
But obviously we watched all of them.
We did. So should we start with the first band?
Yeah, why not?
So first band up were Thrashhead. And they sounded quite like a sort of a modern twist on classic thrash for me. And there was an absolutely mental all guitar and drum battle.
Yeah.
Going on through that. It was on the second track as well. They really went for it. And they've got a new album coming out at the end of the year. And the third track that they played was from that. And there was definitely some kind of early Metallica influences in this.
Yeah, that was kind of my main observation from them, really. Early Metallica, some hints of Megadeth in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, they covered both of them during their set. In particular, a very good Ride the Lightning cover as well.
Yeah.
Have to say.
Yeah, I thought they put on a really good performance. Great opener.
Yeah, I think for an opener, they were spot on. It just set the scene right for the day.
It did, yeah. I'm just trying to think. I think most of the bands in the first half, they got 30 minutes.
Yeah, thereabouts.
So I think it's kind of like first six bands or so. So these were all kind of 30-minute sets. And then it was 15-minute turnaround times. And it was a good sort of time slot, if you know what I mean, for each band. But 30 minutes was spot on.
Yeah, definitely for the first ones, it fitted well. So next up were a Sortie Side. Have to be honest, I'd never really heard about these before. I think I'd spotted them on kind of on the socials and on probably gig lineups and stuff, but not really listened to them, so I did not know what to expect for them, and they were amazing.
These were actually one of my favourite bands of the day.
Yeah.
They were only the second band on.
Yeah.
Yeah, these were absolutely incredible. Four-piece, vocally, like really acidic kind of vocals and incredible screams.
Yeah, there was loads of epic guitar work, quite a lot of instrumental work going on as well.
Yeah. Really beautiful, clear sort of bridge solos.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an issue with a broken string at one point, but
yeah, there was.
That got sorted.
Yeah, I'd also got that down as well. It's that they had a string issue and one of the guitarists had to leave the stage, but it never stopped them. They just kept going. Yeah. It's not as if anything came to a halt. It's like, this has happened, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they had, like we said, about the kind of like instrumental stuff, there were some really fantastic slow parts in the stuff. And then it completely switching, you'd have really insane fast pieces as well. And it was just a really good mix. And yeah, these were one of my highlights. I thought these were absolutely perfect.
Yeah, definitely in a kind of an unexpected, because I didn't have any expectations of them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was nice to just kind of see a few bands we didn't know and just get, with especially like with these, just get blown away by the performance. Yeah. Next up then were a band that we were really looking forward to seeing. We reviewed their EP recently.
And that is Fracture Point. We reviewed their EP at Malice a few weeks ago and said at that point we were looking forward to seeing some tracks from it live. And we definitely did.
Yeah, didn't disappoint. And these were kind of like the punk side of thrash.
Yeah, definitely. For me. Which I think came across on the EP when we reviewed it.
It did, yeah. And it actually started, they started with my favourite track, and they were actually more sort of bass-driven than other bands.
Yeah.
As well, which kind of like, it mixed a few sort of styles together, but did really work. And their guitarist as well, who's, I'm sure his nickname is Miyagi. It's Aiden, who's a guitarist. I've never seen anybody just look so comfortable on stage. He couldn't have looked any more relaxed if he tried. Just kind of casually like blasting out these thrash tunes and just kind of walking around as if it's, you know, oh, what shall I do today? La, 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 la. It was absolutely incredible to watch.
Yeah, it was quite different as well, because obviously most guitarists look quite intense and focused and
yeah,
not in a bad way that he looked the opposite.
Yeah, it just looks so chilled out. And yeah, I've never seen such a relaxed kind of performance before. And I think they showed a lot of kind of like experience in the way that they were delivering stuff to.
Yeah.
And again, another solid performance. Glad to see that they played the stuff that I really wanted to see live anyway.
Yeah, definitely the intensity of the sound on the EP that came across really well live.
Yeah, it did.
As well, so hopefully get to see them again soon. Next up were another band that I wasn't overly familiar with, only by name beforehand, and that were Maddieside, who had come all the way from Wales for the event.
Yeah, and kind of a contrasting style to Fracture Point.
Mm.
Started more of kind of like bluesy thrash, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, yeah. That was my kind of thought, more
yeah, it's like
melodic on the blues kind of side of things.
Yeah, it's like the guitars were very bluesy and it felt like a bit of a bluesy feel, as well as being a thrash band as well.
Yeah, which I really like, because I like quite bluesy stuff as well. I thought it kind of just, yeah, worked really well.
Yeah, there was one track in particular called Death March, which kind of like epitomised all of that. And I really enjoyed their performance. Lead singer had really, really good vocals. Such a strong range. And they also played a new track from their upcoming album, which sounded quite Sabbath in places, especially with the bass lines, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one as well. That's something else to look forward to when it's released.
Then moving on, we had Sidewinder next, who were five-piece, and they were probably one of the most brutal, angriest thrash bands I've seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, my kind of overriding takeaway from them were they were definitely kind of the most brutal, or up there at least. Definitely, again, a change of pace. We had that kind of those punky undertones and harshness of Fracture Point. Then Maddieside almost kind of mellowed things a little bit, and then it just kind of kicked back in again when Sidewinder got on stage. And they were actually playing two gigs that day. That was the first one, and I can't remember where they were going after. But yeah, they were doing a double show there.
Well, that's some effort. And yeah, I mean, their lead singer looks like he's killed before, I'll be honest. He really does. He had the, when he was on that stage, he looked like he could kill, and probably had. And definitely the quickest onslaught of guitars I'd heard all day at that point. And yeah, it was teeth shatteringly quick. But just the speed and the ferocity of the sound. And yeah, it was like being hit by a tsunami. It's like everything seemed calm and then it just absolutely just hit you.
Again, these are a band that I wasn't familiar with at all really beforehand, so I didn't know what to expect. So yeah, it was just really a kick in the face, not literally.
That's one of the things I've enjoyed though, is that, like we said before, it was nice listening to new bands.
Because
it's not very often that happens for us now.
No, it's not really, is it?
I mean, no.
Some of these, like, say Fracture Point, for example, obviously we listened to their EP beforehand, but very often now, especially this kind of group of bands we're getting quite familiar with, but there's always going to be some new ones to throw into the mix.
Yeah. And it's good to see that there's a constant stream of new bands coming through as well.
Yeah, the underground thrash scene is definitely,
it's on the rise again, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it has been for like the last 12 months or so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think it's all really...
It's starting to get there now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So there ends the bands that we have seen before section.
No, that
the
ends
review.
The bands we haven't seen before section.
That's the one, yeah.
These are the bands we've seen before.
Yeah, so they were the bands we've not seen before. So next up then were Wargrave, who we saw at Derby Old Fest. I think they were the first band on Thrash Saturday.
Yeah.
And they have a new EP that will be released at the end of April. We'll have a review of that in our April roundup. And I'd forgotten actually how much I enjoyed them the first time we saw them. And do you know what I mean? I remember at the time really liking them. And then I'd kind of forgotten until
you saw
we
them
saw
again.
Them again.
It's that kind of thing where, because you see that many bands,
yeah,
you do kind of lose track. And you get asked, you know, every festival that we've been to, it's like, who's your favourite band? And it's like, well, I can't actually remember there were that many.
Yeah.
There were so many good bands and you actually forget who you've seen.
Yeah. Well, as soon as they started playing, I remember they've got those proper old school metal, kind of new wave of heavy metal vibes mixed in with their thrash. And then Roman's vocal is just insane.
Yeah.
I think, definitely gets vocal of the day, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great opening and a really tight performance and kind of very Judas Priest kind of vibes.
Mm. Yeah, they're kind of Priest mixed with early Maiden for me.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the vocals. The vocals are exceptional. And I think they got some of the best responses of the day as well.
Yeah, I think in terms of the acts, they were maybe had, the first act that had kind of more familiarity from the crowd.
Yeah. And there was more crowd engagement as well with these.
Yeah.
Because obviously people knew they were, and they kind of reacted to that as well.
Yeah. And obviously the crowd was getting a little bit bigger as the day went on.
It was, yeah.
As these things naturally do, don't they, I guess.
But yeah, absolutely polished performance. Really, really impressive.
And even though it was only a few months since we last saw them, I think they've definitely kind of stepped up and you can tell that they've kind of progressed as a band. And
yeah, 100%. Next up then were Regicide. A band with a lot of stage presence, solid performance, some really good interaction with the crowd, and absolutely piercing vocals. So it's kind of like, it was interesting that there was a couple, like a few in a row that
yeah.
Where the vocals were just piercing. Really heavy bass. And again, with these, how you were saying that more, the place kind of fills up and there's more people for certain bands. There was definitely a core following at the front for these. It got the first pit of the day.
Yes, it did.
I mean, it was a little soft for my liking, but it was the first pit
of
the day.
You know, for the time of day they were on, wasn't bad.
Yeah. And I think they actually put their set together really well because the stuff that they played later in the set kind of really worked.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a well-structured set that they knew what was going to hit well and what people would remember. And they kind of saved that till the end.
Yeah, it kind of just built up gradually.
Yeah.
And these are another one that we saw at Derby Altfest, but they were on the Wednesday, on the Pick By You day. And again, I couldn't remember them that well until they started playing. And I was like, yeah, I do remember you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought they were really good again. And another one that I think we're hopefully going to be seeing later in the year.
Yeah.
And then it was time for some food. Because we can't have a festival review without talking about some food.
Oh, yes. We did quickly nip and get some food. I'd forgot about that.
Yeah. And also at this point, I think timings were just starting to slip a little bit.
Yeah.
Just in terms of turnaround and maybe just tech issues. So things had got a little bit delayed. So we didn't actually really miss that much. We didn't go to what's the food van called outside the Hairy Dog?
Can't remember.
The Dog Hut. The Dog Bowl. Anyway, we went to the Chippy just on the corner.
It's a Dog Bowl.
I know it's not. It was open and then it closed. So yeah, the Chippy at the end of the road. Was open.
And it was the nearest in proximity, isn't it?
And we both fancied some chips, so why not? I had a nice portion of cheesy chips. Although the man gave me strange looks when I asked for cheesy chips in a pita, which wasn't actually on the menu. I think I just made it up.
Sounds about right.
But the one down the road, Derby Kebab, does do cheesy chips in a naan bread.
They do.
So I thought, you know, it was a thing.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah. Anyway, very nice cheesy chips. And you have?
Chicken meat and chips.
In a pitta. Which I guess is more normal.
I suppose that is, yeah. It looks surprising. I didn't want any garlic mayo or anything else on it or any salad or... No, just give me the meat, the bread And there's chips. That's all I need.
Dry contents, because you do not do condiments.
No, I don't.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
Whereas I had mine slathered in garlic mayo, so apologies if I smell garlic mayo for the rest of the day.
You did.
I couldn't smell anything, so. Anyway, by the time we'd had that and got back to the venue, all of 30 seconds walk. I think Blacklist had only actually just started, so.
Yeah, but then I had a vape issue as we left the chippy. So I only caught the back end of the set while you went inside and watched the set.
So you're reliant on me having actually made some notes on this one?
Well, I've got a few notes.
I have actually as well, probably my most. But yeah, last time we saw Blacklist was when it was the Evile show at the Hairy Dog.
Yeah.
And they were actually a three-piece on that occasion.
They were.
Not by choice. It was it the guitarist?
Guitarist, yeah.
Yeah, was absent. So first time seeing them as a four-piece. And we got a new track from there, Hannibal, which they'd only played once the night before.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounded really good.
And yeah, I thought they were, from what I caught, they were kind of like more the doom side of thrash. Kind of slowed it back down again in places. You know how we said earlier in the day, it kind of got up to a point, slowed down, then went crazy again. I feel like this was another kind of like slow the pace back down again.
Yeah, it was almost a bit like, not that they were calm as such, but a bit of a calm before the storm finished the night.
There was a lot of support for Toy Collector as well, that they played off the first album.
Yes.
A lot of people really enjoyed that one. There was a lot of people enjoying that. And yeah, from what I saw, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the set was actually a couple of tracks shorter than they'd initially planned, but they did finish with an excellent cover of Rain in Blood.
They did, yeah. Yeah, it's nice when you kind of get something like that. You know, because you're not expecting a cover.
Yeah.
And then to just randomly just get it tagged onto the end, it's like it's spot on.
But yeah, it was great to see them again and see them as they should be, as the full band. So, and yeah, as with last time when we saw them, we did get the full trifecta of thrash. So they were the first ones up, and next were Thrasher Wolf, who we've seen twice before. So
yeah.
Third time lucky?
Well, no, because it's been lucky. It's been perfect every time. So.
Three is a charm and all that. But yeah, third time seeing Thrasher Wolf. Excellent, as always. They always have a good following with them. They always have lots of crowd interaction.
Yeah, the thing is with Thrasher Wolf, it's like, what is there to say that we've not already said before?
I know, I was thinking, we've reviewed them both times, haven't we? We've seen them. So, yeah, they just keep getting better, really. There's not a lot to add. You know, they're putting in some of the new stuff, GBH, which we saw at the Evile show.
Yeah.
That got another great response.
I was going to say, that got everybody going. That was in my notes.
Yeah, took a little bit of warming up to get the crowd shouting back,
yeah,
a couple of attempts, but it got there.
It got there. And then once it kicked in, everybody went for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think one observation actually from Thrasher Wolf as well was the crowd were getting rowdy by that point. So I did actually scoot across to the other side of where I was standing, most bands, just to keep out of the way a bit, because as these things go, you know, so, which is annoying because all my other videos are from the same angle and theirs is different.
Yeah. Some points I thought Dan's vocals seemed a bit raspy. I didn't know if he was unwell or not. And I was talking to him later that night.
Okay.
And he was actually saying that they'd had a couple of sound issues. But then, because I've noticed it in places, but then it seemed to pick back up again.
Yeah.
And he said they had a couple of sound issues, but then once it had got sorted, everything was fine again. And that kind of came across as well. So I heard it, but then obviously he said, and then he's told me that they'd had a few issues. We love Thrasher Wolf. We've spoke to Dan before as well on the podcast.
So go back to episode 115 from January. We had a lovely chat with Dan. I don't think at that point we knew that they were at Metro Fest, did we? Or that we were going. Because I'm pretty sure we said we'll see you in Mansfield, which we will.
We will, yeah. But so that's another show. So that'll be fourth.
That'll be fourth, yeah. And obviously every Thrasher Wolf show has to end with Dan running around the room.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
like a crazed man.
Yeah. I think once you've seen them once, you just know it's going to happen. So you're like, which way are they going this time?
I always get caught off guard by it. Like, I always forget, yeah.
Yeah. Usually Paul's ready to film it.
Yeah.
And get a montage of it.
Next up then were King Abyss, who our previous guest. We interviewed Dom not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, episode 127. That one.
Yeah, and we did know that they would be at Metro Fest, obviously, because we spoke
Which
about
we
it.
We did, yeah. And it's not a band that we're watching at Mansfield again.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Another one. See, they're all coming to play.
And yeah, Dom didn't disappoint, really screeching, rasping vocals. Interestingly, he didn't wear his Derby shirt.
I was just going to say, actually, he turned up quite early on in the day, actually, didn't he?
Yeah.
To check out some of the other bands that were on earlier, because obviously they're local anyway. And we had a chat then, and I was wondering if he would be changing to a Derby shirt.
I was pleased. I'm pleased to say he didn't. But yeah, his vocals were absolutely fantastic. And it's just weird because, like, obviously, because we know him, and he transforms from this really nice, friendly guy off stage into a complete screaming, constantly moving psychopath on stage.
Yeah, my notes, actually, I've not made many notes, but one I have made is Dom becomes feral.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt.
But the band as well, on stage, really tight-knit and audibly, I think audibly, one of the best-sounding bands of the day. I think, you know, as a whole.
Yeah.
I think the audio really kind of came through. I had the distinct pleasure of Dom screaming in my face after when he wandered off the stage.
Yeah, about three tracks in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think. It just went for a wander.
Went for a wander and kind of screamed in my face.
I don't know if I caught that on film. The one thing I have to say, because he was probably the most mobile vocalist, hard to catch photos of. Harder rather, but we've got some.
And yeah, I mean, he kept wandering off stage into the crowd. And what I don't get, based on this performance and previous ones as well, how have they not won Metal to the Masses? I really can't get it.
No.
They are the perfect fit.
Yeah, definitely. I don't get it. They should be there. But one day I'm sure they will. And looking forward to the new stuff that they mentioned. It's being recorded as well.
Mm. And one of my favourite tracks was Eyes Always Watching Me.
Oh, yeah, that's always.
Absolutely love that. Part of me wonders whether that's something that they should move to the last track. It's kind of like the send-off track. I was just trying to think on what they could do differently to win it, because everything they do is spot on. Like, audibly, they sound really good. They're, you know, vocally incredible. It's like they're really good musicians, and Dom's a great vocalist, and they've got everything going for them, but I don't understand how they've not won it.
I guess it just comes down to what other bands are in as well, though, and the judges on the night.
That's true, yeah.
Because the final is always... It's judges' vote.
It is, yeah.
And I think based on Nottingham anyway, so.
And it's always a tough competition, but I still don't understand how they got.
And next up then were the final band from the Thrash Trifecta, and the one who encountered the most kind of sound and tech issues, Hellfected.
Yeah, I mean, Hellfected have really mastered the art of kind of like engaging the crowd and getting going.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was third time seeing them as well, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah. And again, another polished performance. So like a lot of these bands that we've seen two or three times now, you'd know that it's not that they've just had one good show. They're consistently performing good shows now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw them main stage Vangarta last year.
Yeah.
And then on the Eval show again. And yeah, obviously a local band, so they got a lot of support in the room.
Yeah, and they just seem to play everything with ease now, so comfortable. And you can even, I mean... I know it's a little bit longer since Mangata, but you can see how much they've improved as well each time.
Yeah.
It's like a real upward trajectory.
And I think just the fact that they weren't phased at all when Liam's guitar broke and he had to go off, and they just improved, and we had a sing-along to Sabbath, and then he came back on without the guitar and they started the song anyway because they didn't need him to start the song, and then the guitar got fixed. Some bands might have been really put off by... that whole thing, but they just went along with it. And it's...
Yeah, real pros about it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Didn't let it stop them. And they managed to mix kind of like a lot of fun with the crowd as well as create that kind of wall of noise.
Yeah.
And it seems that every member of the band creates kind of like an equal kind of proportionate sort of amount of noise.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm probably not describing it very well, but like some bands could be very bass driven, some could be very guitar driven, some are vocal or drum driven, but these, it's like it's all considerable amounts from each section.
Yeah, it's a perfect mix, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just a shame really that I think they were a couple of tracks at least short due to the issues during their set, and obviously things had got behind at that point, so I think all bands were cutting a track or two off anyway.
Yeah,
so that was sad, but what we did see of them was awesome as always.
Finally, headline band Imperium. who were moved up to the headline slot.
Yes. And I was just going to say, an excellent choice, actually. Unfortunately, Elimination, who were the original headliners, had to pull out. And I think, yeah, it was just an excellent decision to move Imperium up to that slot.
Yeah. Yeah, it made perfect sense. And one thing I did think was really weird, initially, it seemed to be a smaller crowd.
Yeah, I noticed that. Even though I was at the front, I kind of turned around and I expected
a sea of people.
More people. Yeah. I didn't know if it was because people hadn't realised it started, because sometimes when you're in the Hairy Dog and you're in the bar, because the music's quite loud, especially later in the day, you don't hear the bands, which I guess is so you don't get to hear the bands for free.
Well, yeah.
Makes sense. But yeah, you don't always quite know, especially if the timings go a bit skewed.
Yeah.
What time people are supposed to be on.
Which is an issue we've had. We had that at Altfest. We've had it at the Evol show.
Yeah.
You're just not 100% sure.
Yeah, and you kind of stick your nose in to see, and it's, yeah.
And you, yeah, then you suddenly go, oh, shit. But yeah, it did get busier.
Yeah.
The more that they were playing, as people kind of did the same as us and not the same as us because we were already in, but as people kind of realise, actually, they've started.
And I think as well, because we had a quick chat with Neil after, he did say, obviously, some of the bands who got further to travel didn't stay for the end. So that kind of reduced a little bit of the crowd capacity, I think.
Yeah.
So people who got to go back to London, for example, kind of drifted off early, whereas they were in there watching bands as well.
Yeah.
Early, which is fair enough, I guess.
Yeah. You kind of expect that, though, don't you? They definitely had a real core following, though. A lot of people really, really like Imperium.
Yeah. Yeah. They've definitely got a crowd following. People with their merch
and it's getting bigger as well.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the midst of a tour at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Imperium sounded really good and a very, very tight performance again. And they played a new single from the EP.
Yeah. I think they played quite a bit from the EP, didn't they?
Yeah. But I think that was the first thing they announced that they were playing from the EP was the new single. And again, like even for something that's new, that was really tight. And the songs are just really well constructed. And I think they're delivered with the right performance as well. And it definitely got busier later on. You could see that in just size of the venue just getting bigger and bigger. And yeah, there were some pits going off and it was a good headline choice.
Yeah, definitely. By the time they were kind of getting towards the end, the crowd were really warmed up. There was lots of moshing going on.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, vocally as well, so powerful.
Yeah, I really enjoy Ben's voice. It's really good. And yeah, all the guitar work is so...
It's just tight, isn't it? It's everything.
Yeah, they just work really well. So they're, as we've already said, an excellent choice to end an excellent day of music.
Yeah, I mean, 12 bands and it was a great ticket price. And yeah, I had a really, really good day.
Yeah. So well, they're all bands that we would definitely watch again.
Oh, yeah.
All bands to watch out for that we recommend you should check out to just listen to, or if they're in your area, go give them a watch.
Yeah, if they're in your area, you've got to check some of these bands out. And they're all at different places in the country as well, so there's no excuse for people not to go and watch them.
Absolutely, and we'll be talking about some of them, if not all of them, again at some point, definitely.
Well, yeah, we've already got tickets to see some of these bands, so there will be, again, more kind of reviews about that. But... yeah, really looking forward to more stuff that UK Thrash has put on, because I think Neil's kind of got everything together and it's moved in a good direction.
Yeah, definitely. So some of the Mansfield shows he's working with DJ Rockalypse to put on there. And then there's other bands at other events around the country. So there's Colville Metal Invasion has now been confirmed. So some of the bands are going to be there.
Yeah. And that looks a really, really good lineup. And talking to a few people as well, they were really excited that was definitely on.
Yeah, and quite a few of these bands are in the London Metal Coalition as well. So could you pick a band of the day if you had to? Because I couldn't, I'm hopeless at picking things out.
Oh, band of the day. Interestingly, I did actually number bands and kind of who I thought were my band of the day and
did you?
Et cetera. So it's very tight, but it's between, for me, Sort of Side,
yeah,
who were the second band on, King Abyss and Wargrave.
Ooh.
So they were my favourite bands of the day.
I really can't pick because I genuinely enjoyed every band, all for different reasons.
Yeah,
times because they were same but different. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I've only kind of picked those bands because there were more moments for me. Like, I think every single band that played was incredible and phenomenal. Yeah. But I thought there were more moments for those.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I think every single band put on a great show. I think the audio for all of the bands, again, at the Hairy Dog, spot on.
Yeah, there was a couple of issues, but they were always really quickly resolved.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
And in fact, the biggest issues were, it was actually where the bands had issues with guitars.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
They were the biggest issues. But in both instances, both bands just kept going. There was no stoppage. It was just kind of like, well, we'll work through this.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic day, fantastic night, and really glad we went.
Yes, definitely. Let's hope there's going to be another one in future. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed our little roundup of Mosh in the Roof on Fest. You may have seen some of the live videos that were shared on the day, stroke night. I will be sharing some more videos and photos over the next week or so. And you can find those on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at Ready to Mosh Cast, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok at Ready to Mosh. There will also be a little vlog with some extended highlights of the bands on YouTube coming out soon. Don't forget as well, we have now got Patreon. So for the bargain price of £3 a month, you can listen to the bloopers that don't make it into the show. You get early access to episodes wherever possible. And you also get to find out what's coming up in the month ahead before anyone else does. Quite possibly even before we do, because do we ever know what's going on? Sometimes we do. And if you would like to support the podcast for free, of course, don't forget to leave us a lovely review and a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening to us on. That would be very nice, and we would welcome that very, very much. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Mosh the Roof on Moog.